will never fulfill your purpose if you don't understand the unique things that God has given you that's just you. Welcome to Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the Word. The uniqueness of you. The uniqueness of you. God wants you to know today that you are special, that you are unique. And there is none other in all of the earth like you. Turn to the person who's sitting next to you, or for those of you listening electronically, those who are sitting next to you on the sofa across the room, look at them and point to them and tell them, you are special. As God spoke this to me to deliver unto you today, you know, just as a mother or father recognizes that each one of their children, they're all different. I have four boys with my wife, and each one of them is just different. We love them all the same, but each one of them is different. They have different personalities, and they all came up in the same household, in the same environment. But every one of them, sometimes they have a rash, totally different and widespread differences among them. I've got one who is just so sweet and just so calm. And I've got another one looks like he just got electricity running through him. Same mother and father, but they're different. So God wants me to just talk to you for a few minutes today on just the uniqueness of you. Now, in Christ, there are certain characteristics that all of us should be the same on. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through the 14th, I'm reading the New Living Translation, that there are five qualities that all of us are supposed to be identical with. And it says, finally, all of you should be of one mind. It says, number one, you should be full of sympathy towards each other. Number two, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. Number three, don't repay evil for evil. Number four, don't retaliate when people say unkind things about you. And number five, instead, pay them back with a blessing. This is what God wants you to do, and he will bless you for it. For the scriptures say, if you want a happy life and good days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and keep your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Work hard at living in peace with others. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. Now, who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't be afraid and don't worry. See, these five things, all of us who are in Christ should look just alike with. All of us should have plenty of sympathy towards one another. All of us should love one another. All of us should don't repay evil for evil. All of us should not retaliate when people say unkind things about us. And all of us should pay them back with a blessing. Now, those are the things that we all should look just alike with. But yet there are some things that it's only for you and you alone. It is the uniqueness of you. Philippians 2:2 says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So these are aspects that every Christian should look just alike. And people ought to be able to tell that you are a Christian just by the way that you behave. But there are some things in the kingdom of God that are unique to you and only you. And as I heard God speak to me, the uniqueness of you, again, I had to ask him. I said, Lord, what do you want me to tell the people? And this is a statement that God spoke to me. Each one of you has a purpose. Although the overall purpose is the furtherance of the kingdom of God, each of you has a unique part to play. Do not be distracted by someone else's purpose. Find and fulfill your own. We all here for the same thing, to advance the kingdom of God, but every one of us has a part to play. And God is trying to tell you, don't be distracted. Don't be jealous. Don't be envious. Don't be focusing on someone else's purpose. Understand the uniqueness of you. And sometimes because we try to look at another person's calling, another person's gifting, we get all discombobulated and all displeased with what God has given us. I can't pray like Brother Williams and like Sister Carolyn. I can't pray like them. And sometimes because we don't have a gift of someone else, the prayer that Marcus Simmons Sr. prayed is one, I can't pray like that. And sometimes because you don't have a gift or an ability, we heard Dacia McKissick sing this morning, I can't sing like that. And sometimes because we become distracted by the gift of another, we fail to understand the uniqueness of you. I was at the car wash yesterday. I had taken my wife's van up to get it washed up. And while they're washing the car, they have a little lobby that you can wait inside. And as I went in there to wait inside, I was hungry because I hadn't eaten. And I was hungry and I looked up at the counter and they had all these candy bars there at the counter. And I looked up and I went up to the counter and I picked up a Snickers bar. And I got a Snickers bar and handed it to the cashier, and she asked me the question. She said, are you buying this Snickers bar because you have seen the commercial of how a Snickers will give you energy? And I told her, not really. I said, I am buying this candy bar because 2 days ago I heard my brother C. Elijah talking about how he loves Snickers. I'm not even a Snickers man. I'm a Mr. Goodbar man. But I heard my brother talking about how he loves Snickers and how every day he would go and get a Snickers bar and just eat the Snickers. And when I got up to the counter, I picked up the Snickers bar because I heard C. Elijah. And when I gave the lady the bar, and when she scanned it, it wouldn't even scan. And she said, give me another Snickers bar because there's something wrong with this one. So I gave her another Snickers bar, and it wouldn't even scan. She said, well, give me a Kit Kat. They're the same price. So I gave her the Kit Kat, and the Kit Kat scanned. And I knew right then it was God speaking to me, you not even getting the bar, this even you. Now, none of the bars were good for you. I understood that, but I was walking on another man's bar. And I wasn't even being true to myself because I'd heard C. Elijah. And I was, see, too many of us are trying to be like Mike, and you're not Mike. And you've got to understand something. There is a uniqueness of you. And because we fail to understand the purpose and the reason that God has placed us here, and because we go to focusing on someone else, it gets us all distracted. And often when we become distracted, then we become disheartened. And we become unappreciative of the uniqueness of you. Do you know there is no one else in the world who looks exactly like you? Now, there are some people who resemble you. I still remember when we took a trip over to Italy and we were there in the Italian airport and the guide came out and I heard her holler as she saw me, "Oh my God, you look like Harry Belafonte." Now, I gave that lady a real big tip at the end of that trip. Because throughout the whole trip, she just referred to me as the movie star. And she said, "I look just like Harry Belafonte." And I may have some features that may somewhat in a distant way resemble Harry Belafonte, but I'm not Harry Belafonte. Some of you all look like some movie stars, but you're not the movie star. See, you can look like some people, but there is still a uniqueness of you. That's you and only you. There are even similarities with you and your parents. Even scientifically, you can take just a wad of spit, and you can take a wad of spit from a person and a wad of spit from that person's child and tell whether that's their child or not just by the DNA analysis. And the thing is, each one of their DNA, it will have what's called markers that will indicate whether this is the child or the parent. And though the DNA will have markers, it's never identical. It's only like the person, but it is never the person. See, there's a DNA profile that just even in your spit, you got the only spit that's you. And no one else can spit like you can spit. Your spit is just totally unique. And that is just a scientific fact. Then God just wants you to understand the uniqueness of you. Turn to the person next to you again and tell them, "You're special." And when we begin to understand that we are special and that God has a unique purpose for our lives, we can then begin to move into that purpose. See, I've had situations in my life where God has spoken to me some things and I've understood that's just not my purpose. And because I have known what my purpose was, it has made my life a whole lot smoother. When you know what your purpose in life is, and when you understand that your purpose is not someone else's purpose. And that's what has a whole lot of us just messed up. We're trying to walk in someone else's footsteps. We're trying to fulfill someone else's purpose, and we don't know what God has called us to do. And that's part of the problem, is that we don't know. The other bigger problem is we won't do it when God does tell us. Do you know most of the people in the Bible, when God called them out, they didn't want to do it? Amen. From the very beginning, they just didn't want to do it. God called Adam to do some stuff. Adam listened to the snake. Well, actually, he listened to the snake after he listened to his wife, who listened to the snake. So he listened to the snake indirectly. See, some of you are not even hearing the snake indirectly. Some of you all are being told what the snake said. Come on now. And we never fulfill our purpose in life. Adam's purpose was really to live in the Garden of Eden in paradise forever. And because he got out of his purpose, he never got what God had intended for him to get. And sometimes we don't want to fulfill the purpose that God has placed in our lives because we're looking at someone else who has something else. That's the way advertising works. Advertising works by making you want to be someone who you are not. It makes you want to be someone else. It makes you want to change the stuff that God has given you into some stuff that's on somebody else. And we become dissatisfied with who we are. And what we are. And God made you in his image. You all are just beautiful. Just look at the person. Look how pretty they are. And see, once you are able to start seeing beauty in people's face, you'll be surprised how much beauty you'll see. Because the ideas of beauty changes by who is leading the fashion world. But when you understand the uniqueness of you and your purpose, then we can move into what God wants us. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" God says he predestined some things. In other words, he foreknew what you are supposed to do and what you are supposed to be, and he predestined it. That's why the Bible says, "I knew you even before you were in your mother's womb. And I knew that you were special, and you shall know me by the things that are made." Do you know that everything that you touch leaves a unique mark that is only you? If I touch this podium, it will leave my fingerprints on this podium, and there is no one alive, dead, or yet unborn whose fingerprints are exactly like mine. It is a unique touch. Everything that you touch is uniquely you, and no one else can touch it like you. For those of you who are parents, God has placed a purpose in your life, and there's no one else who can touch your children with the same touch that you do. For those of you who are married and God has placed you with a spouse, there's no one else who can touch your spouse like you can. He has made even your fingers with a mark and a seal that's only you. It's the uniqueness of you. And even now there are certain bioscan devices that people don't need keys for. You just put your finger on the scanner and it scans it, and it'll open doors based on the uniqueness of you. There are some things in your life, there are some doors that will open based upon the uniqueness of you. Talents, abilities, dreams, and skills that God has given only you to bring into fruition in this earth. Do you know how blessed you are just to be here? And how you have won a lottery that is beyond comprehension. There are approximately 300 million sperm every time a man and a woman has sex. That's the average number of sperm that are released. And out of that 300 million, you only have about one out of every 40 acts of intimacy that will result in pregnancy. When I added it up, it results to an average of about one out of every 30 billion sperm produces a human being. There are only about 6.5 billion people on the earth. So if you took the whole population of every person on earth, multiplied it by 5, there's one person out of all the folk on the earth, multiplied by 5, that represents that one sperm, that's you. It's the uniqueness of you. And when you understand how rare you are, how special you are, that God has placed his stamp on you, and not only do you have bioscanners that will scan your fingerprint, but you have retinal scanners that will scan your retina in your eye. And basically, there is a unique pattern in your retina. And the retina is a membrane that basically focuses the light that allows you to see. And when you put your face up to the retinal scanner and it'll scan your eye, there's only one eyeball with that pattern in the whole world. So whatever you touch No one else in the world can touch this like you. And whatever you see, no one else in the whole world can see it like you see it. Because you have a unique eyeball that no one else has. And sometimes, because of our uniqueness, and it may be different, some people have big, what they call buck eyes. And we'll let the world make us feel bad because our eyes may be shaped a little different than everybody else's. Not realizing that because your eyes are bigger, you can gather in more light. You can see better in the dark than folk with them little bitty eyes. And you don't understand. Some of you got, you have big noses. And because of your big nose, it'll allow you to take a big, deeper breath where you can breathe more. And you can go up to higher heights where the air is thinner, that because of your big, wide nose with those big nostrils, God has given you the uniqueness of you, but you let the world confuse you and make you not appreciate that which God has given you because you don't understand. I used to feel bad about my feet because when I went into the eighth grade, I was wearing size 12 and I just had the biggest feet in the class and people would make fun of my big feet and I didn't understand about my understanding. So later as I began to understand that because of my big feet, I could walk better. I never slipped up. I could go up mountains where other folks slipping and sliding. I had some understanding. So you will never fulfill your purpose if you don't understand the unique things that God has given you that's just you. And when we understand these things, see, Elijah is not here today. He's off preaching at another church. And the pastor of that church had called me and he asked me, he said, Pastor Nathaniel, would you come and speak at my church? And I told him, look, that's not my calling. Now I can do it. I said, but that's not really my gift. And that's not really what God has called me to do. See, Elijah has the evangelistic calling. So you would be far better and everything would be in much greater divine order for see Elijah to come speak at your church today instead of me. Because that's not my calling. And you have to know what your calling is. And see, even though I can do it, I know it's not my calling. So you have to know what God has purposed in your life. And when you get in line with what God has purposed in your life and understand that he's given you some things that no one else has. The older I get, the more I begin to understand what God spoke to me a few years ago. He says, do not compete. And I've had to, even in sporting events, I just will not compete. He said, do not compete. And as I begin to understand that, I begin to get more satisfied and more focused on just what my purpose is. And that's all I can handle. I don't have time to be comparing myself to another person's achievements and their purpose because their purpose may not be mine. And God is only going to hold you accountable for what he has commanded you to do. That's why even in the offering, I said, bow your heads and ask God what you should give. Some people like to look over and see what somebody else is giving. That has nothing to do with you. So it is your purpose in life that you have to be cognizant and be aware of. And to fulfill that, people, stop competing. Some of you in debt right now because you're trying to impress somebody else who had something that you felt was better than you had. And the stuff you had was enough and too much. Most people in America have got more stuff. Our closet about to bust open. We got more stuff than we can ever wear, more food than we can ever eat. We just have more stuff and more stuff, but we sometimes get in so much trouble because we're trying to compete, not understanding that you are not them and they are not you. Be who you are in the fulfillment of God's purpose. Now, when you understand your purpose, it will also help you understand what you need to do. For example, you don't need to look like everybody else. Look like what you want to look, but understand if your purpose is to become successful in corporate America, understand you can't walk in there with wild hair colored purple and green. So you know, if your purpose is to be successful in corporate America, then it automatically will gear you to certain behaviors and certain styles to fulfill the purpose. So when you understand your purpose, then you will know, I have to do these things because this is the purpose that God has placed me here in the earth for. Amen. The uniqueness of you. And when you understand some, and see, some of you have gone through some painful stuff. And sometimes even your purpose is to go through some stuff so you can help somebody else through some stuff. And when you understand, God told me right as I got into ministry, he said, I got to send you through some stuff so you can relate to the people. So then when I understood that if I have to go through some stuff, and God didn't tell me what the stuff was, but it didn't sound too pleasant. So when he says, I've got to send you through some stuff so you can relate to the people, whatever I have gone through, I've always understood it's a divine orchestration so that I can fulfill my purpose. Amen. So when you understand your purpose, you become far more content with what God has given you. Whether you wear in size, now my shoe size is 13, but I have to have a certain mentality so my son will feel okay, because he came to me 2 weeks ago. He said, Daddy, your shoes are now too small for me. He's wearing 14s at 13 years old. So because his daddy is proud of his feet, he's not going to be ashamed of his. But he understands the purpose of your feet. The purpose of your feet are to walk, not look good. So when you understand the purpose of a thing, some of you got big lips. You got big lips. I mean, but you can kiss a lot better with them big lips. You can cool off soup. I mean, if you got some hot soup, you can cool that soup. All that. God has placed a purpose in your life for everything that you have, and when you can appreciate the purpose, and when you can understand the uniqueness of you, you are special. You're one of a kind. You are precious and unique and rare. And God has made you the way that you are to fulfill a destiny and a purpose in his kingdom. It is the uniqueness of you. God has got some great stuff in store for you when you know and follow and walk in your purpose. Jesus knew that he had a purpose. Even at times, be honest about it, he didn't want to do it. Plain and simple, he said, Lord, if there be any other way, can you take this bitter cup from me? If it's any other way. But Jesus understood his purpose. And there are some purposes that God will have for you. And I'll be honest with you, some of that stuff's going to be bitter. Some of it will be tough. Some of it you will not want to do. And you may holler, Lord, if there's any other way, take this bitter cup from me. But there are some paths that the Father knows the children must travel in order to develop them, to make them who they are to be, for whatever purpose God has for your life. Well, what's your purpose? What is your purpose? Knowing your purpose will not only take you into your purpose, but it will keep you out of some things that are not your purpose. And sometimes people, the things are, they're good things. It's not that they're bad. I see my mother sitting there, and my mother's purpose has been to really, at one point she focused on children and even other people's children. She would go into places and get children. And she asked me one day, son, will you go with me and be a part of the children's ministry? And I told my mother, mother, that's not my purpose. I knew it. It just wasn't my purpose. That's not what God has called me to do. I don't go into the prison ministry. That's not my purpose. You got, now I supported a man, I paid a man's house note for years who went into the prison ministry, but I always knew it wasn't my purpose. You can't do everything in the kingdom of God. You got to know what God has called you to do. Give full focus on that and give that all you got. You got to know what your purpose is. And sometimes your purpose may seem to be what I would call mundane and not very glamorous. Some people may be called to just bring the preacher some cake every Sunday. Now I don't eat cake. So I know that. So if God is whispering to that, and this, you know that's not God. So, but there are some in other churches, and they're called to just bring the preacher some cake every Sunday. That's their whole purpose. Just and because sometimes even leadership just needs a support and just a pat on the back every now and then. So sometimes we get caught up a lot of times that our purpose has to be so grandiose and so elegant. Mr. Cotton said that God had told him his purpose was just to keep this building and the yards clean and in order. And that may not appear to be a glamorous thing, but when it is your purpose, Martin Luther King says, whenever you call to do something, do it with everything you got. If you call to sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. So whatever you are called to do, don't get hung up that, Lord, this is just not as glamorous. You may be called just to be at home with your children. And some people will look down on that, but you don't know who you're rearing. Suppose Jesus' mama had said, that's not what I want to do. It's not glamorous just to have a child. Know your purpose. And stay truthful to your purpose, and don't let the world give you a purpose that's not divine. Because they, trust me, Satan is going to try to substitute God's purpose, and he'll have you all running off into all kind of fancy stuff that has nothing to do with what God really wants you to do. Know your purpose. We thank you for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word.
This ends message number 5467 by Nathaniel Brauner Jr. To hear other messages or to send this message number 5467 to a friend, simply go to airjesus.com and theonlineword.com. This has been message number 5467, The Uniqueness of You. Listen to airjesus.com and theonlineword.com often and keep your spirit charged up.